Good afternoon, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How's everybody doing?
Oh, everybody's well, doing all right.
Pete, Greg, Coach. Steve,
Coach. Doing
all right.
I take it the film session today was probably pretty satisfying, huh?
Well, there were some good things. In the film. There's always things to correct, but you know, when you win 35-7, there's a lot of good things.
Were there more? Was that a more complete game than you think you've played all year long? And I know the Tennessee game was a total blow-up, but that was a team yesterday, obviously, that had been playing pretty well over the last few weeks, had a lot to play for.
I don't know. I think we did a, you know, did a pretty solid job in most areas. I don't know about ranking them, but it was. Again, there's always things we can work on, things we can improve on, and so we'll, you know, try to do that. But it was satisfying to, you know, to come away, you know, be ahead at halftime, have control of the game, and then you know, play well in the second half, finish it off, and be AFC's champion. So we'll take it.
You know, Jacksonville's a good running team. You had, you know, Will Fork out of there, who's a huge run stopper, and you use that flashing defense with the linebackers. You're surprised they didn't try some quarterback sneaks on that or some dives, because you guys plugged and run pretty well, and they came up with that a few times and seemed to confuse them. But it's not like a running back quarterback like Garrard would maybe try to.
Well, they tried to punch a couple runs in there on it. We had in the first half, we had some success early. You know, Tully made a hit in the backfield or maybe for a yard gain, whatever it was, and they did. They tried a couple plays in there on it, and then you know, they had the draw there at the end of the play.
Garrard a little more.
Well, yeah, I don't know, but they. You know, I think they gave the ball to their, you know, their best back, and you know, let him try to run a few times. But you know, we anticipated that, and we, you know, we know we're a little undersized there. We tried to do some things to cover up from that, so it wouldn't be too inviting for him.
Telly's on field. I mean, he just seems to be extremely aggressive, quick on his first step. He closed down and tackled. You said on a couple of those plays that going away from him, made some plays. Is his level of play improved from a couple of weeks ago? Because he's been playing consistently, but now. He's obviously the best pass rusher on the team and playing at a high level.
Yeah, well, I think that's pretty much the way it's been all year. I think he's had a pretty consistent year. I mean, go back to the Buffalo game and the opener and all the way through. He's been productive all the way. And you know, he's worked hard. He plays the run well. He rushes the passer well. He pursues well. You know, he's having a real good year, and he's doing a lot of things well.
Very crisp execution on both sides of the ball. Anything during the week, during practice, that led you to indicate it'd be this clean a game for you?
Well, you never know, Steve, but I think we had good practices this week, especially on Thursday and Friday. I know that as coaching staff we felt that way, and I heard the players refer to that a couple times during the course of the week and even here at the end of the week and after the game as well. So maybe that had something to do with it. I hope so. But it was certainly you know, a good week of practice, a focused week, and a good execution week on the field in practice. So maybe there's some correlation there.
I take it that's a real good thing in that you're dealing with a Christmas week where schedule's a little crazy. Probably some of the players getting a little pressure from the family to spend a little bit more time. That can't be an easy week to get that type of focus.
No, I think any time you have a holiday week, there's always you know, there's other things going on that we all have, and you know, Jacksonville had them too. It was Christmas down there, but I think it was good by our players to come in, and when we did go out on the field, we did work. Again, they seemed very attentive, and our execution level was good. So I think that had helped us during the game.
Now, your offensive line, Light's playing better. He's getting healthier. You had Neal back, and he'd been out for a bit. And then you have Vollmer over at right side. Seemed like they're working real well as a unit. Gave good protection. Were able to get the tight end out and didn't have to keep him in.
Protection was real good yesterday, as it really it has been all year. Our offensive line's done a good job, but they were solid yesterday. And you know, Dan and Steve both played some at right guard, and Sebastian was at right tackle. And you know, it seems like we've had a different combination every week or couple weeks, whatever it's been. But those guys did a great job yesterday. We ran the ball, had some good runs over on the left side, you know, with Light and Mankins over there. And Chris and Ben did a good job, too, on some of those outside plays. So, you know, I thought we got solid play from our line and also our tight ends and in a running game.
Allowed you to put Dan Conley back there as a fullback in a couple of plays yesterday.
Yeah, I thought Dan did a nice job. He had some really solid hits on his linebackers, and you know, he's a big man coming in there. And so, you know, when they come to take him on, it's a little different than taking on a, you know, 235, 40-pound fullback. You know, he's really a powerful guy, and he had some good blocks.
How does that work, Bill? Over the years, you've used guys in different positions. Obviously, we know about Vrabel and others that you've used. How much time do they get to spend in dealing with particular, you know, specialty that you want to use them? How does that work?
Well, we put the plays in, and usually we, you know, work those plays a little bit on Wednesday or Thursday. Usually Friday and sometimes Thursday is a goal line short yardage or what we call a four-minute offense, meaning at the end of the game when we're trying to run the ball and get first downs as opposed to really trying to score. And that's a lot of time when those two tight or three tight play tight end, multiple tight end plays come in, or whether it's an offensive lineman playing tight end or an offensive lineman playing fullback or those type of formations usually get worked on a little bit later in the week. So, and we practice it, and we, you know, we've had those sometimes. You know, we played Light at tight end, we played Vollmer at tight end, we played Marco Bohr at tight end, we played Connolly at fullback. So we you know, we use different combinations there. And those guys are very they're versatile, they're smart, and so, you know, it gives us the ability to formation things up a little bit differently.
Everybody's dinged up this time of year. We all know that. But Tom was great yesterday. Just three, he was fantastic. As usual, he's against Jacksonville. But three incompletions the whole day. Was he less dinged up than he has been in a while yesterday?
Well, I think he'd have to answer that question. He knows, you know, Tom doesn't really talk a lot about how he feels. He just goes out there and plays. But I'm sure at this time of year, after 14, 15 regular season games, you know, everybody's got some bumps and bruises. It's been a long season. We've played a lot of football, and, you know, everybody's fighting through it. You know, those bye weeks came a long time ago for everybody. And so, but I think as a team, we're, you know, our players have been working hard as far as, we talk a lot about, you know, getting treatment and getting rest and doing the proper things to try to take care of and preserve their energy levels and their health as much as possible. And, you know, we do as much of that as we can. It's not, you know, I don't think any team's 100% at this time of year, but you just try to get as close to it as you can.
After his fumble on the opening drive, I don't think we saw much, if any, of Maroney. Was that a direct correlation?
Well, I think all our backs were productive yesterday. You know, they all had good plays when they had a chance to play. And, you know, Sammy got some carries and hit a couple long, you know, like a 15, 20-yard run right off the bat, and then that long short yardage run. So he kind of had the hot hand there, and, you know, we gave him some carries.
So there's no Bill Belichick doghouse. It's just who's playing best.
Well, I think, you know, all our backs, like I said, have been productive for us all year, and they all were yesterday, and I hope they will be going forward. I expect them to.
It's a nice option to have. You know, Taylor has great instincts. He looks strong.
Yeah. It was good to get Fred some carries there and you know, get some contact, let him run the ball and take some hits and read some blocking plays and just, you know, run the ball full speed as opposed to practice at the end of the game. So that was good, too. You know, Kevin did a good job as usual. You know, we had a nice drive there, took it down the field the first time. And really, again, all our backs were productive.
Interesting on the challenge on that, because I don't know how many times over the years, Bill, we've sat here and we've talked about having cameras angled right on that line to be able to pick something up. And logic would tell you that the way the ball dropped, that it did hit the line, that he was over the line at the time. But because there were so many bodies all nestled up with that view, there was no view that could give you a conclusive look at that.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think there was a camera on the goal line or pretty close to it. And but like you said, there was just a lot of bodies there. You know, they only really showed it from one angle. I don't know if there had been a look at it from the opposite side. You know, I don't know what that would have shown. But I agree, it did look like the ball was pretty close to coming straight down and it hit, you know, either in the end zone or right on the goal line, however you want to look at it. So.
Well, his back foot was on the line, so his front foot was over the line. So logic tells you the way you see the ball, but I guess an official can't sit there and say,
I can't see anyway.
Logic.
Physics and gravity don't apply.
They don't have good eyesight.
Yeah, you got to be able to see it to be able to call it. Yeah.
No, Bill, like I said, the passing game looked extremely well. How does Welker get open all the time? I mean, you would, after a while, think with 130, whatever catches he has, you'd probably kind of try and stop him.
Well, you know, Wes had another good day, but there was a lot of other production at receiver too. Oh, yeah. You know, Baker had a big catch, Watson had a couple catches with big catch, and Moss had whatever it was, three touchdowns, and you know, so we got some plays all the way around. So and Tom did a great job of, you know, getting the ball to, you know, to the open receivers, and you know, Edelman had a big play for us there on a 3rd and 10 or whatever it was, and on the scoring drive there in the second half. So. You know, no doubt about it. Wes is a tough guy to cover, and we saw that when he was in Miami. We couldn't cover him. He's got great quickness and separation and instincts, and really knows how to get open. But you know, I think that's opened some things up for some other guys, too. And, you know, definitely Randy on I think it was the second touchdown where there's, you know, three guys looking for Wes, and you know, that created an opening for Tom. Just like we've seen guys jump Moss and, you know, Wes come free. So, you know, Tom does a great job reading that and picks out the open guy, and he hit him a lot yesterday.
That segues me into my next question is, who your third receiver is? You have one and two, and then if they're all putting all their attention to those two guys, whoever's open, whoever has the space. Everyone keeps talking about, we need a third receiver. Need a third receiver, anyone but those two?
Well, you know, Julian's done a good job of that for us this year. Sam Aiken has, and they both missed some time, you know, as we know. And of course, the tight ends and the backs, Kevin, you know, has always been productive for us. So, you know, it's kind of a little bit by formation, web personnel group that's in there. You know, we have other options to throw to. And, you know, of course, in the Carolina game, you know, Ben had the big catches in that game, as well as the interference penalty that you know, set up a score. So, well, I think Tom usually can find somebody that's open on every play. And, you know, he loves to throw to Randy and Wes, but he doesn't mind throwing to anybody else. He doesn't discriminate.
You talked about the running game and how good the running game was. Did that open up more play action, or was it just that the play action was more successful yesterday?
Play action's been good for us all year. I think it's complemented our running game well. I think the offensive coaches have done a good job of, you know, tying those together, our runs and our play action, so that, you know, we kind of feel like if the defense is stopping one, they really shouldn't be able to stop the other one. And, you know, not every pass is successful, but that helps our running game. Not every run successful, but sometimes that helps our passing game. And I think they've done a good job of game planning that and setting it up.
I noticed there wasn't very many, if any, deep ball attempts. Was that part of the game plan, or is that something that Jacksonville showed you in their coverage?
Well, they played, you know, as they usually do, a decent amount of split safety coverage. Mm-hmm. And so, no, you're right. There weren't, you know, a whole lot of opportunities on that. And then, you know, the way the game went, it wasn't, you know, it just didn't work out mm-hmm. that way. I think that, you know, there were times when we had deep balls called and we ended up throwing the ball short. And, you know, could we have called more? You know, maybe, but felt like the execution of the game was going pretty good. We were in a good flow. We were mixing the run and play action with and some real manageable third down situations, you know, third and threes, fours, a couple third and ones. And that's a great way to, you know, for the game to go.
Your defense played, again, very well and done a pretty good job all year long. They don't get a lot of credit for it. But guys like Merriweather and Sanders really stepped up. Thought that stop early on in the game was a key point after the fumble on the goal line. You know, weeks past, maybe another team might have come down and scored and momentum switches, but yesterday Merriweather and Sanders come up with two big stops on third and fourth down.
Yeah, they were huge, Pete, I agree. And the Merriweather's play on third down was really a terrific play on the reverse. And, you know, he not only did he make the tackle, but he made a big hit right there on the sticks and kept them short of it. And then, you know, on fourth down, we got some penetration from, you know, Ty Warren and Adalis, and that kind of kicked the ball out to James, and he made the tackle on it, but... You know, Ty Warren only played, you know, a handful of plays, four or five, whatever plays, whatever it was. But the plays he was in there for, he really had an impact on. And then the game got to kind of a point where, you know, we tried to take some plays off of him. And then fortunately we were able to get ahead and it became more of a passing game. And we didn't need to play him very much. But the plays he was in there were really good plays. And, you know, Mike Wright showed up again with some good plays this week, too. So. Mm-hmm. But that run defense early in the game, you know, after they kind of came off the goal line, to be able to stop them there and you know, kind of make them feel like, well, it's not going to be an easy running day, thought that was important.
You think they came out, you know, because Wolfolk's out and they were going to start pounding up the middle and have an advantage? Because they are a physical team with a hard running back.
Yeah, you know, they might have. I don't. You know, they had the ball on their own one-yard line, so I don't know how much that led to it. And then they got, you know, a first down with, you know, three straight running plays. And so maybe that gave him some encouragement. I'm not sure exactly.
You lured him into the trap.
We were trying to.
Did you see Fred, by the way, wearing the Randy Moss mask?
You know that was me?
Did you see that? Do you know that was Fred?
Looked good, yeah.
That's a nice mask.
What about Moss? And obviously he had another terrific game yesterday. And obviously he feels, you could sense in the way his expression and the way he was dealing with it, that he was back in the flow. He even talked about it after the game.
Well, like I said, I think Randy's been, you know, one of our most consistent players this year, last week, and over the last 3 years. And that really, you know, we ask the same question every week, and it's pretty much the same answer. You know, Randy does a pretty good job for us. Mm-hmm.
Does that surprise you when people keep hopping on it? You know, you look back
You and Glenn are two of the ones that harp on it the most.
All right, I'm speaking for myself.
Don't you hate when we harp on it?
Remember,
you had to convince Fred when Randy first came here. Remember that.
If you listen to the whole segment, I said for most of the time he's been here, it's phenomenal. The first year, second year. And there was a couple bumps here when you can question if he was.
He backpedaled well for a nose tackle.
I know. He's coming at me full speed. Can you believe Glenn says all this stuff?
Yeah.
But the guy's been consistent for two and a half years. And a couple games he had a bump, but you keep answering the same question over and over because Glenn keeps asking you.
You're trying to defer it now away from you to me. Is that what you're
saying? No, I'm not. But that is a question he keeps getting asked because he's such a prominent player. That's going to happen.
That's what you got. 1,200 yards receiving, whatever it is.
He's leading the league, I believe, in touchdown passes right now.
But you can see a difference.
It does become, for some reason.
It's not just touchdown passes.
Yeah.
How many yards
do you have? Third, fourth, 1,200 yards.
1,200 yards, whatever it is.
I think what's your number one in touchdown catches?
I just said that.
But he's so scrutinized because you see a play that looks like we can't tell. You tell more than us, but one play and run the route looks like he's slowing down, and it's going to be national news. Because we keep talking about it.
Oh, you're beautiful, Fred. You're beautiful.
When you have this offensive line together like you've had the last couple games, does it give you more leeway? It seemed like you were running a little heavy on the left side. It seemed a little more balanced right and left this week. Does Stephen Neal make that big a difference in that situation?
Well, it's always good to have Steve and all our players out there. It's interesting though, Steve. I was just thinking about it last night that we really, of our group of linemen, we really haven't had them all out there one game this year. You know, going back to Mark Lavoie being on PUP at the beginning of the year, Dan Connolly missed a couple games at the beginning of the year. Matt was out, Sebastian was out, Nick was out, Steve was out. All at different times, and it's been juggled a little bit, and if we ever actually get them all out there together at once, we'll see what our options are. But we really haven't been in that situation. But I think maybe we're getting closer here.
Did I see Vollmer play somewhere else besides right tackle? Did he?
Not yesterday.
No, not yesterday. Okay, so there was no.
But he's been at tight end, and of course he played a left tackle when Matt was out, and we've been in some unbalanced line sets and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of mileage out of those guys playing different spots, and Connolly at fullback, and Lavoie at tight end, and Light and Vollmer at tight end. So we've used them in different ways, mm-hmm. and they're very versatile. They're a versatile group. They're smart. They work well together, and it gives us a lot of flexibility. Whatever the combination's been, it's been pretty good.
No sacks in four games.
That's pretty good.
But one of the big things is offensive line playing together and getting a feel for each other. So when you rotate them through, it's amazing that they played at that level, because working together in a feel for what guy does what. What is the ultimate starting lineup? Is it Vollmer at right tackle?
He's healthy, so we'll see. If we get them all out there healthy, we'll have an option. But that really hadn't been the case. We just kind of been plugging them in based on who's healthy. And, Mankins and Copen have been in there pretty much every snap, for the most part. Well, Mankins for sure, Copen, it was a little touch and go there for 1 week. But they've, whatever the combination's been, it's been effective. So hopefully we can keep that going.
Do you have a shot of where you run most? Is it, you have a tendency to run more to Mankins' side? Or obviously they've been healthier, so it'll probably be more of an effective block.
That's over. It's pretty balanced. But the short yardage run that came to our right, the long one, the 50, whatever it was, 50 some yard. I think it's pretty balanced.
How much better does Matt Light been in? I mean, look, getting some time in there, look like his footwork's getting better and coming off the ball. Because he first came in, I mean, it's hard to get right back acclimated to that speed.
Yeah, his first game back was against Indianapolis. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't get tested anymore than those guys, so. I think since Matt's been back, he's been fine. He's been good. And he played good the first week, and he's played good all the other weeks too. I think he was a game ball winner in there a week or two ago. I mean, he's had a solid year. He's played very well. The only thing was he missed a few games, but other than that, when he's played well.
Let's take a 90-second break. When we come back, we'll look forward to Sunday in Houston. We'll do that next with the coach. Right. All right, back here at the Big Show. It's Patriots Monday. We're live down here at Gillette Stadium with the coach, Bill Belichick. And I know you've talked about you do what's best for your team when you're dealing with a situation like Sunday's game. But is there a fine line here for a coach in trying to maintain the rhythm of what you've been building here and at the same time making sure that you get your guys as healthy and as close to 100%, if not 100%, for that first playoff game?
Well, I think there's always a fine line on doing what's best for your team. Period. You want to make the best decisions, but it isn't always clear cut. And there's different arguments for running the ball or throwing it or blitzing or playing in coverage or you name it. There's a million of them. So we'll see how it goes this week. Right now we just want to make sure that we make the corrections from the Jacksonville game. Try to improve in the areas that we need to. Get ironed out, and things that we did well, make sure that those are reemphasized and reinforced and continue to do those, and then we'll, prepare for this week as we get into Houston. We'll start doing that, tonight and tomorrow.
Was Wolf a game-time decision, or was he?
It was.
Taiwan looked like he ran okay.
Same thing.
We talked about that, yeah. And so,
yeah, they were both game-time.
Didn't seem like the ankle bothered him too much. It's a good sign. Got a couple weeks. You talk about a team, you have to know the psyche of a team. How much is it, about holding a team back or not playing players or, when to pull it back and how to get you? If you don't want your team going into a off season, into the playoffs flat, even though it might mean not resting guys, what's the most important part, of a team psyche going in? Rest, going in on a high note, or in a combination. I mean, how you got to gauge that, right, with your finger on the pulse.
Yeah. I think you try to do what's best for your team. You take all those things in consideration and put them all in the pot and try to figure it out.
How different is this? And I know we mentioned it a little bit last week, but you've got teams out there that really have nothing to really gain by winning a football game, the last football game of the season, and others that are sitting there vying. And we saw a situation last night, obviously, in Indianapolis, but in teams that need to win this game just to stay alive. So you've got one team that might be far more competitive than the other team. How difficult is that when you're coaching and you're trying to deal with one of those scenarios, yours being you've got a playoff game the following week?
Well, I think when you're the coach of the team, the only team you really are concerned about is your team. And you do what's best for your team, and you can't worry about the other 31 teams.
I know, obviously you have Houston this week, and that's your top priority, but you've said in the past, I'm sure, it's been a while since seven teams, I think, are in the hunt there for the last game of the regular season. Is it tough to try to figure out, and maybe it's tough to even guess who you might be playing in the first round as far as try to get a jump on who you might be playing, because seven teams are still in it.
Well, I'd say the majority of those teams that are mathematically in it, we've dealt with all of them, mm-hmm. except for really Pittsburgh,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. And, that's right. You just have to, play the percentages, and in the end, we won't know for sure until Sunday night after the Jets game. So, but that's not uncommon. Even if you're the one or two seed, it can be the same thing. When the mm-hmm. wild card games get played, then those could get juggled around too. So we've been on both ends of that. I think the big thing is to, have your team ready to go into the playoffs, and whoever you play, that's, not really in our control. I mean, our game could affect it. I understand that, but whatever happens, happens. But right now, I think the most important thing is for our team to, to be peaking in 2 weeks.
Does it make it somewhat easier for your team to focus on what's right in front of them when it's so indecipherable as to who you may or may not play? Does it make
I think it probably does. Yeah, I think it probably does. Because really, the rest of that, there's so many scenarios. There's 1,000 different scenarios, or maybe more. I don't know.
But you'll go crazy looking at some of these.
Right now, we just need to think about, getting ready to play Houston.
Yeah,
and then we'll find out who we play after that.
And you can't do any ahead preparation, Pete was talking about. I mean, you can't break down everything. You have to kind of wait. You know a little bit of what each team does because you played a bunch of them.
I think we can play the percentages. I mean, there's some teams that percentage-wise, I think have a lot better chances than others. Yeah. But however it turns out, it turns out. And big thing is we're happy to be in it. I mean, the disappointing thing is, we're talking about teams that are, 7 and 8 that are still in it, and, we won 11 games last year, and, and didn't make it, but that's football.
This Houston team is tough to figure out. Some days they look like they could go to the Super Bowl. Other days they look like, they just don't show up. And they've been playing pretty well. But they're a tough team to decipher on film because they do so many good things a lot of weeks, and then other times they take two steps back and look terrible.
Well, I think when you watch the first half of the game yesterday against Miami, which is a game Miami had to have and Houston had to have, that's where you say, okay, well, this is Houston at their best. They're up 27-3 or whatever it was, 24-0, whatever the score was there in the first half, and they did pretty much everything they needed to do. They stopped Miami. They turned the ball over. They ran it. They threw it. They got it in the end zone. Played good on special teams. So I think that's the Houston we have to be ready for, is the team that played, last week, yesterday against Miami.
And what happened the second half? I didn't get to see the game. The wheels fell off. Miami had the ball.
Miami was – they were behind, and they were basically in their two-minute offense the whole second half. They hit a few plays. Houston turned the ball over one time, and they scored to make it close. But, I don't think they ever really had the ball with a chance to tie it up. But they made it competitive.
But you watch it. They had Indianapolis and missed a field goal, and then they had down there, and Houston threw the interception. So they've been in games. They have that offensive firepower. With Johnson, they can put points against anybody.
Well, they're a very good passing team. I think they're second in the AFC or whatever it is. But they're, they can throw the ball well. And, they use their tight ends, they use their backs. And certainly Johnson's, a huge threat. You got to know where he is on every play. And, defensively, they have a good front. The linebackers are young, but they're very active. They're very productive. And, Dunter Robinson's one of the best corners in the league. So, they have a lot of talent and a solid team, good quarterback.
It's another team that could sneak in. They still have a chance.
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure.
How do you stop Johnson? He's such a tremendous receiver, and he seems to have great athleticism and makes some, phenomenal catches. How do you stop a guy like
that? Yeah, he's tough. He's 6'2", whatever he is, 6'2", 220, 225. He's a big target, a big man. He's fast. He's tough down the field, and he's a catch-and-run guy, kind of like Terrell Owens. He catches a short pass. He can break tackle and go the distance on that. So it's not like you can just play back behind him and say, well, he's not going to catch any long ones on us. He doesn't need to catch long ones. He can catch slants and in cuts and tear screens and things like that and turn those into long plays. So he's a hard guy to cover, and his numbers speak for themselves. He's got a lot of production.
Not many teams have slowed down that passing attack, like you said, but what have some of the teams that have been successful against them, what have they done? Has it been pressure? Has it been coverage? What's been the one of the factors that have given them a little problem?
Well, I think like usual, if you can, anytime you can get a team in a long yardage, if you play good on first down, and Houston's one of the best first down teams in the league, they're right at the top in that. So if you can get them into, second and long and third and long, then you've got a lot better chance than, when it's second and four and second and five and first and ten again. And, they have a lot of different options. They have good play action game. They're a competitive running team, and they use, everybody in the passing game. So you got a lot of guys to defend. But if you can get it the longer yardage, then, that certainly plays into defensively. Makes the game a little, not saying easy, but it makes it easier to defend.
Coach, so five and getting everyone healthy, look like they play at a high level. How much does the defense change? Did the practice change going to the playoffs? How much is more looking at the rest to get guys healthy? You also got to get the production in practice, but you don't want to get tired out because you've been on the feet. You talked about 100 and something practices and all those games. So
yeah, we'll have to talk about that tomorrow. And tomorrow afternoon we make a practice schedule for the week and particularly for Wednesday, how we want to handle that. So that's, it's something we'll talk to the medical staff and kind of get a gauge on where the team is, as we do every week. This week's no different than any other week from that standpoint. Kind of find out where we're at, what we need to do, and how to get it done.
Brian Cushing was hurt during the week, and they were questioning whether he was going to play. Like Fred, I did not see yesterday's game. Apparently, he had himself a big game. How good is this kid?
He's done a good job for him. He's done a good job. I think, the middle linebacker, Ryans, is really a terrific player. He plays sideline to sideline. He makes a lot of tackles. Gets in a lot of plays. Cushing's done a solid job for him too. He had an interception on a tip ball yesterday, but he rushes a little bit. He's in coverage a little bit, And, you know, he kind of plays on the line some, plays off the line some. So they move him around a little bit, and he does some different things. But he's been a productive guy for him. And with Ryans, that's, you know, two young linebackers that, that make a lot of plays. And they have a very, you know, very active front, too. This team has good talent. You know, they've drafted high. They've gotten some good players in the first round, the upper part of the draft, and those guys are starting to, you know, mature into good to real good NFL players.
Remember the first time you saw Schaub was the Atlanta game. You guys knocked Michael Vick out. He had to come in. He did okay.
He killed us.
He did.
He killed us.
You made him all that money.
He did. But, you know, if I think that game put him on the map. You guys won that game, but I mean, put him on the map. But how has he developed as a quarterback, and who would you most compare? Who's he most like in the NFL? As a quarterback, did you have Breeze type or Rivers or Brady?
Yeah. I think, you know, he's more of a pocket passer. Not that they don't move him out of the pocket a little bit, but I mean, he's not the runner that Gerard is. But, you know, good decision maker, good arm, accurate. Their passing numbers speak for themselves, really. He's very productive and throws the ball around to everybody. He reads coverage as well, gets to the open guy, uses his backs and tight ends very well. And, so, you know, I think he's a good, solid player. Can get the ball down the field, can make all the throws, and is a smart guy that can read defenses.
Special teams, how would you, we haven't watched them a ton, but special teams?
Good. They, Jones, right? He does both kickoffs and punts, big guy, and strong runner, and he's been very productive on punt returns. They cover well. I mean, they've got a good athletic team. You know, got a lot of defensive backs that that run well. Of course, Davis was here. Davis was here. He's one of the good special teams player. Another fast guy that is tough and can cover kicks well. So they're solid in that phase of the game too.
You're playing your last game out on the road. Does the league give any passes to teams that are playing the last game on the road and not schedule them for that Saturday game the next weekend, or is it irrelevant? It's in the league's hands, and they could have you with a quick turnaround playing on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night.
Yeah, I think that's all done by the league, and once they find out who the teams are and matching them up, and I really don't know how all that works. They certainly don't consult me on it. So.
I think that's hot.
TV people, they consult the TV.
Whatever they come up with, they come up with.
Is that a difference, though, Bill? Saturday versus Sunday? Does that make a difference in preparation? Or?
It's the same for both teams. You know, if we play on Saturday, they play on Saturday. If we play on Sunday, they play on Sunday. So
yeah.
I think, it's about as equitable as it can be. You know, yeah, I mean, there's something on every game that if you maybe add your ultimate wish list, could we have it this time or that time? But I mean, in the end, I think everybody has enough time to get ready for the game whenever they schedule it.
Would it be a wish list to play someone you played before because you have a better book on them, and also they have a better book on you, too?
It doesn't really matter. It's nothing we can do about it. Whoever it is, it is. So we'll be ready. Whenever the game's scheduled, we'll be ready to play, and whatever team is we're scheduled against, we'll be ready to play against that team.
It is what
it is. I heard at least a couple of you guys yesterday refer to in the locker room as the hat and T-shirt time, where they get the AFC East hats and AFC East team shirt. Is that an indication that these guys know that you've got enough veterans here that understand that this is just one step? Is that what they're talking about when they say hat and T-shirt?
Well, no, I think, Steve, when you play through the whole season, I mean, every game's a big game. We only have 16 games, mm-hmm. so each game's an important game. But this was a game where if we won it, we would actually win the AFC East. I mean, mm-hmm. it wasn't any more of,
right.
it's just another game. That was the one that if we beat Jacksonville, we were the champions. So, and if you're the champions, what do you get? You get a hat, you get a T-shirt.
Right.
So,
get an attaboy.
So that's symbolic of winning it. And this is the first time we could actually say that, even though, the Carolina win was a good win, even mm-hmm. though the Buffalo win was a good win, it didn't solidify it.
Right.
I mean, there was still more football to be played. And, now at least we can say we won the AFC, so that's one step. Certainly not the end of what we want the end to be. We want to go further than that, but that was, that's a goal at the beginning of the season, to win your division, to be in the playoffs. And so we've achieved that, and And so we got a hat for it.
So they're not just not diminishing the accomplishment, but just recognizing it as a step in the right direction or one of those early steps in what you eventually want to do.
Yeah, and saying that this game actually does it. You know, right. the Buffalo game, that helped. The Carolina game, that helped. The Jet game, that helped. You know, all those games helped, but this was the game that actually clinched it for us.
Right.
And so, therefore, good. You get a T-shirt.
Very good.
Right. Congratulations on the AFC East once again. Good luck on Sunday, and we'll be back here on Monday, and we'll get a chance to talk about the playoffs, and we'll know the specifics at that time.
We'll be talking playoff football.
Yes, we will.
We will,
once again. All right, Bill, have a good one.
All right,
good
thanks.
Week, and
ben,
enjoy
Pete,
Texas.
Fred, Steve, appreciate it.
Thank you.